you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
But joining us right now is Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Yesterday on the program, we had two Los Angeles County supervisors talking about the board's 3-2 resolution to seek a way of removing the sheriff from office or in some way curtailing his authority. Here's what LA County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, who was the author of the motion, said on the air yesterday.
We are in the process of doing what is considered due diligence as to what the appropriate and or legal methods would be, that is to say, to explore returning governance to a more rational place rather than the internal conflict that has presented itself over and over again by the sheriff of Los Angeles County.
The supervisors have been highly critical on a number of fronts, including the number of big dollar settlements that the county has been forced to make because of deputy misconduct, the rehiring of Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy who had been accused of domestic violence that overturned by a court. Also, the vote that was taken by the Citizens Oversight Commission, which called for the chief to resign, or I should say the sheriff to resign. Joining us is Alex Villanueva. Sheriff, thank you for being with us. Your response to the supervisor's efforts to either remove you from office or to seek the sheriff's office becoming an appointed instead of elected position?
Well, trying to make it an appointed position is a non-starter, and that is grounded in the state constitution. There's no appetite anywhere in the state. This is all rests on the shoulders of Mark Ridley Thomas. They have not allowed me actually to do my job without their interference since the day I was sworn in. That is bent. Remember, they were all endorsing the other guy, and the independence of the sheriff's office was handed over to the board by my predecessor. I took it back where it belongs, in the hands of the voter, and it has to be an independent office. And this is nothing but a power grab from day one.
But even though you preside over an elected office, is there not a role for the Civilian Oversight Commission to also be able to determine the practices of your department and whether you're complying with the law? Isn't there also a place for the Board of Supervisors, given its financial responsibility, ultimately for the county budget, to have a degree of oversight on your practices?
The board's responsibility is to give oversight to how I spend the budget, and that is their proper role because they allocate the funds to all the county departments, but it ends there. The Oversight Commission, their job is to oversee. Their job is not to direct. This is not a police commission. And remember, they're appointed all by the Board of Supervisors. We're not getting out of this loop where the board is trying to control absolutely every facet of county government. It is nothing but a power grab. There needs to be a separation of powers between the legislative and executive offices, which represents the Board of Supervisors, and the independence of the sheriff and the district attorney. And they're trying to blur the lines on all of that.
So what role then does the Civilian Oversight Commission have? It was created after malfeasance when Lee Baca was the sheriff. The idea was to have an independent voice that would be overseeing the department. What role does it have if it has no authority whatsoever?
Their role is providing oversight. It's supposed to recommend and advise on policies, practices, procedures of the department. If you look at let's go to the civil unrest that happened in late May and June. Look what happened in the Fairfax District. Look what happened in Santa Monica. Look what happened in Long Beach. All of those problems stemmed from political uncertainty or doubt whether the chiefs of police had the authority to act in time and save literally their cities from being burned and looted. And they didn't. And that is the difference between the sheriff's office and the appointed chiefs of police. If they could act on their own, they would do a wonderful job, but they always have to go through the filter of the politicians, and that's where the problems are created. And the board thinks that somehow they're going to do a better job? No, I don't think so.
So what role then does the inspector general have, who, you know, claims he's been stonewalled on efforts to get documents about incidents involving your department, in his ability to be able to provide oversight? I mean, it sounds like you're saying there really is no avenue for oversight in a substantive way at all.
Absolutely not. The inspector general has received every single document he has asked for, that he's legally entitled to. That's the big difference. He doesn't get what is what cannot be released by law, such as confidential personnel records, active criminal investigation. That is interference in a criminal investigation. He's not allowed to do that. But he's had part in every single deputy-involved shooting investigation. He's been to the scene of the shooting. He's done the walkthrough with the homicide investigator. He's done the autopsy with the coroners. He does a critical incident review, and he gets the entire documentation that we submit to the district attorney. And not once has he made any analysis, report, conclusion, or opinion on whether the shooting was lawful, or what the tactics employed were, decisions made, or the quality of the Homicide Bureau's investigations. Not once. So this is absolute nonsense that he says he does not get the information to do his job. This is all a political hit job. He's a political attack dog of the board and nothing more. We want an actual, real oversight commission that does not act as a political body. We want an elected oversight commission so they truly represent the people. One Latino out of nine? And you can tell me that's representative of LA County? I'm sorry.
And you're saying the inspector general has all the data on all of the deputy involved lethal uses of force. You mentioned walking through the scene and everything. He has access to all of that? Because it sounds like some of it you're saying he can't get because it's confidential.
Absolutely not. He has access to the entire thing on every single shooting. What he does is he jumps up and down the day after the shooting saying, they're blocking me. But he knows damn well that when I have access to it and I can see the evidence is when he should be able to see it. But he actually, I don't go to the scene of a deputy involved shooting. He goes there. I don't go to the autopsy. He goes there. He gets the full report. Problem is, once he gets it, it falls into a black hole and no one ever hears about it again. But you'll still hear him claim that he doesn't have the information and that he's just profoundly dishonest. And that's a disservice to the goals of having, you know, proper inspector general doing their right function.
So you're claiming he's getting documentation and that he's lying about that, that he's claiming that he's not getting it when he is?
Exactly. He is getting it by the truckload. The problem is that it's all a show to try to convince the people that we're somehow obstructing something. And then Mark Riley Thomas claims that we're obstructing independent investigations. One thing, the inspector general cannot do a criminal investigation. He can audit, he can monitor, and he can make an opinion on the quality of what we're doing. And we'd like to have an independent perspective on that because that informs us whether or not we need to change, improve on some things. We don't get anything from him. So it's an absolute waste of time. It's a political show, nothing more.
So Max Huntsman, in saying that there needs to be more transparency from the department, and most recently in the case of the lethal shooting of Dijon Kazee, I mean, he said that we want to monitor the active investigations of the sheriff's department. He said that there's been resistance to cooperate. Reforms have been backed away from. The sheriff won't comply with subpoenas. I mean, there's been all kinds of very direct criticism that he has made about your department. And you're saying that's just not that's not real, what he's saying?
He's being dishonest from day one. Subpoenas. We filed a motion to quash the one subpoena that was issued to my office, and that is going to be heard on November 20th this year. The county has postponed three times that hearing. And that's when they have the chance to defend the constitutionality of the subpoena issue. So you can't claim that we're defying something if you're not willing to defend it in court. We're there in court, ready to challenge it. And so we'll find the answer to that on November 20th. That is one example. Dijon Kazee, he has everything on that thing. And we did a press conference. We released all the information, all the video, everything that we had. We've been put it. He's received everything. So what exactly is he not getting? He can't say it.
We're talking with Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. So when you look at the Inspector General and you look at the Civilian Oversight Commission, what, if any, of their recommendations or criticisms of your department have you implemented? Have you looked at and said, yeah, that's right, I'm going to make changes?
We're putting everything online, because what we're doing is, since they claim that they're not getting everything, even their request for information, we put the request online. We put our answer online on our website, lasd.org, transparency tab. So you can actually see the exchange of all the information. If the rest of county government was as transparent as we are, it'd be a big difference, because you'd see a lot of what other county departments are doing. Look at our deputy-involved shootings alone. You get the summary of the case. You get all the video evidence that is available. You get the opinion from the district attorney. You get the link to the coroner's report. These are things that were never, ever seen before online. Now we're putting everything online. And then we are responding to criticism, but we need objective criticism, not political attacks.
So, Sheriff, let's look at the shooting death of Andre Guardado by sheriff's deputies. There's going to be a coroner's inquest coming up on November 30th. Are you prepared to fully cooperate with all the requests the coroner makes for any documents or for witnesses to testify at the inquest?
He can have anything he wants. We're going to give him everything, but he's a day late and a dollar short. The coroner's inquest is to establish manner, mode, and cause of death. They've already done that. So it's like you're trying to create a trial for something that already happened. They need to do that when something happens at the time, and then it means something. For example, a coroner inquest was used when Marilyn Monroe died of a suicide. They wanted to determine how she died. That became a coroner's inquest. That's a prime example. It is a useful tool, but now it's being used as a circus stunt. When the coroner released the autopsy results prior to us interviewing the deputy involved, he interfered, and that was basically by orders of the board and Max Huntsman, he interfered with the investigation and compromised it. You can't be compromising the investigation for your political gain. Doesn't serve the public, doesn't serve justice.
All right, but in the case of coroner's inquest, if I'm not mistaken, the Ron Settles incident, going back to Ruven Salazar, in the inquest that was held there, they're also undertaken, aren't they, to determine what role law enforcement used, and whether it was law enforcement that was responsible for the killing, and you know, what, if any, sorts of factors surrounded that. So are these always held immediately after an incident? Because I didn't think in those two cases they were.
Well, remember, those were drawn out a very long period of time. They weren't done overnight. Now, by the sheer volume of these cases, everything is cobbled together and they move on. And when you have a high-profile death of some sort, it was a common practice in the past. But since the last 30 years, they haven't done any. But they chose one where the coroner's already made their ruling. So I don't know if they're going to undo their ruling and try to do it again, but we know pretty much all the facts that are available on this case.
And are all the files in the Guardado case released at this point? Because I thought that's not the case.
Once it's delivered to the district attorney, the inspector general gets the entire case file. He has in his possession. He also has in his possession all of the case files that have been delivered to the DA going all the way back to 2014. And we have not heard one thing from him on any single deputy-involved shooting. Why is this?
Now, in the death of Dijon Kizzy, who was riding his bicycle and shot and killed by sheriff's deputies in South Los Angeles, Max Huntsman, the inspector general, said that he was blocked from attending the autopsy of Kizzy. What are the reasons for that?
That is another lie from Max Huntsman, his specialty. He did not go there on his own. We don't schedule the autopsies. We don't conduct the autopsies. They tell us, hey, we're going to do autopsy on this day at this time, and we show up. That's his responsibility to do that. Somehow they made it to all the other autopsies, My job is not to babysit Max Huntsman, so he needs to learn to just set his watch or do something.
We're talking with Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva on Air Talk this morning. The Civilian Oversight Commission subpoenaed, in the wake of Measure R giving them that authority, you to come talk about the state of the jails with COVID-19. You didn't do that. Why did you refuse to testify before the COC about that?
I sent the person most knowledgeable, which is Assistant Sheriff Bruce Chase, number three person in charge of the department and who oversees all of custody. He is a subject matter expert. He was the appropriate person to testify. But remember, the Oversight Commission subpoenaing me would be the equivalent to the Police Commission subpoenaing the mayor of L.A. That would be very awkward, and that is a constitutional overreach.
Doesn't Measure R give them that ability to subpoena?
Gives them the ability to subpoena documents and records and compel testimony, but it doesn't give you the executive over the department.
So you're saying that you're exempt from that because you're independently elected? Is that what you're saying? Or all executives of county departments?
No, the ones who are independently elected are exempt from that. And I will, once they get their act together and they start behaving like a rational, objective body, I'd be more than happy to attend. And I have attended in the past, but their entire operation has devolved into nothing but a political attack show. And it's kind of sad because we actually want a truly representative and diverse Civilian Oversight Commission that represents the community. We don't get that. I get 7 out of 9 lawyers, 1 Latino out of 9, and you're trying to say, and they're all appointed by the Board of Supervisors? No. Either they're elected or let me appoint some of them so we have at least a counterbalance of opinions.
We're talking with Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva. I also wanted to talk with you about the treatment of reporters by sheriff's deputies. We, of course, have the case of our own Josie Wong, who was tackled, roughly arrested by deputies. Those charges were dropped in that case, but she clearly identified herself as being a reporter for KPCC. We also have the case of a freelance journalist, Pablo Unzueta, who was also arrested, held for 6 hours, had his equipment taken, didn't get back the memory card, which had years' worth of work that he had documented. We have a number of other cases where people reporting have been hit by hard foam projectiles or been pepper sprayed. So the perception is among people in the field in which I work that this department has become hostile to journalists doing their job. And this is your role as sheriff, right? To make sure that your deputies are allowing journalists to be able to cover what your department does, to be able to provide eyes and ears to the public.
I wholeheartedly agree. And we sat down with the RTNA. In fact, they are now participating with us in providing training to our newly appointed supervisors. And we met with LA, the press club, and I'm not familiar with the second case that you mentioned, Zarzueta, but the first one on Josie Huang, I'm very familiar with it. And she did something very, very different. She was not credentialed, did not have her press badge with her, all right? And when she claimed that she was a reporter, she was already on the ground being handcuffed. That's a little too late. She got way too close to the action. The deputies, on their hand, were too quick in trying to, in arresting her. And they should have given her more time to comply. So there was mistakes made on both sides.
She was wearing, though, her KPCC credential, which clearly identified who she worked for. It's not a legal requirement that she have a department-issued press pass to be able to cover it. She was backing up as the deputies were enacting their arrests, staying out of their way. She identified herself, what I saw in the video, just as soon as it was clear the deputies were touching her. So this idea that they didn't know who she is, that runs in defiance to what you see on the video.
I've seen the video myself, and it's very clear. She says she's a reporter when she's literally on the ground being handcuffed. And then she starts yelling KPCC. One, the deputies there, odds are they're not going to know what KPCC is. And the ID thing that she had around her neck was an access card to SCPR. And did not say KPCC. And I'm sorry, but deputies are not going to recognize that. In the heat of the moment, when they the people they were arresting were chanting for the death of the deputies, we're going to have to introduce a little human element here. There was a lot of other reporters that covered that, but they did it from a very safe distance.
But again, she was trying to get out of the way at the time. She wasn't interfering with any arrest that was going on. She was walking up to people, protesters she was attempting to interview and document, identifying who she was. So what was the reason for deputies, even if they didn't understand what SCPR or KPCC was, why would they arrest her when she's backing away and not interfering with what they're doing?
I think they may have confused her with the protesters. I have video of her standing next to the protesters with a cell phone pointing at the deputies approaching them. So when the deputies see her next to the ones chanting for the deputies to die, you know, you're going to have to give them a little leeway in understanding, well, is she a reporter? Is she not? Or is she part of the protesters? And that is some of the confusion that people lose because all they get is a clip at the very end.
Yeah, and she was never told by deputies, you know, stay back, keep a safe distance. She attempted to comply with every instruction that the deputies gave her during that. But let me ask you, see, LAPD Chief Moore has said that officers will recognize reporters who ID themselves. Is your department going to follow suit? Can a reporter identify her or himself and have your sheriff's deputies accept that and allow them to document what's going on, so long as they don't interfere with deputies doing their job?
As long as they're in a safe distance and not interfering, by all means. However, we have a group of people now that are the activists who are spray painting press on their helmet and saying, we're with the press, and they're dressed like they're going to play football. And that's where the line gets blurred between the two. So we're trying to separate fact from fiction. If they have a press ID card of any kind and they comply with the stay at a safe distance, by all means, we're going to always honor that. And we encourage that.
Sheriff, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
All right, you got it.
Okay, thanks very much. L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva joining us on Air Talk. We've been in contact with the Inspector General, Max Huntsman, actually for a couple of weeks now. We hope to get him on to respond to what we've just heard from the sheriff. And KPCC criminal justice reporter Frank Stoltz will be with me to talk about the sheriff's response to what the L.A. County Board of Supervisors are calling for, and that is the removal of the sheriff from office. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. We just talked with Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, who responded to the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors 3-2 vote to seek the removal of the sheriff. No easy task, given that he's independently elected by county voters. Joining us is KPCC and LAIS correspondent covering crime and public safety, Frank Stoltz. Frank, thank you very much for joining us. You had a chance to hear what the sheriff had to say. And I want to begin with what he said about Inspector General Max Huntsman, and that Max Huntsman has lied about not receiving all of the documentation that he has requested about the deputy-involved shootings, that he was not blocked from attending the autopsy of, I believe it was Kizzy. What do we know about the Inspector General and his claims?
Well, I think it's worth putting it into a larger context, and that is that Sheriff Villanueva over and over again has demonstrated a resistance to oversight. And one of the primary tools for oversight that the county implemented in the wake of actually the indictment of former Sheriff Lee Baca was the Office of the Inspector General. And shortly after he took office, Sheriff Villanueva accused the Inspector General Max Huntsman of improperly accessing department personnel records and opened an unprecedented criminal investigation into his own inspector general that, as far as I know, remains open to this day, and something that many saw as an act of intimidation against the inspector general. So we could talk about the particulars of whether or not he handed papers over to Huntsman. I don't know whether he did or he didn't. The inspector general says that he did not. We could talk about the autopsy that Huntsman was not in. Huntsman says that he made that request, that they didn't specifically invite him. In any case, there's this atmosphere that the sheriff has created where he doesn't really want to respond to outside oversight. And we see that, Larry, with the Civilian Oversight Commission, too.
Well, and his position seems to be that because he's independently elected, there really is no authority over him. All of this can be advisory, but when it comes to how he conducts his job as sheriff, that he really has total control. That's the position that he's taking.
Well, and it's not a surprising position. That's been the position that sheriffs have taken, you know, since the creation of the office. You know, sheriffs are independently elected. They have operated independently and pretty much been all powerful in the county, you know, each and every one of them. And each of them, the previous sheriff, McDonald, was resistant to the Civilian Oversight Commission at times, too. But we're in a new era. And that era is most marked by the voters' decision in March to give the Civilian Oversight Commission subpoena power, which would give them the right, or does give them the right, to get papers and to subpoena members of the department to come before the Civilian Commission. And the very first subpoena it issued was to the sheriff, which he refused to comply with, arguing that, it, as you're saying, again, with the spirit of like, I'm all powerful, saying, look, it was illegal, even though other voters in other counties, you know, have and boards of supervisors in other counties have given civilian oversight commissions subpoena power. He's going to court over that. He's going to fight that. And that's another good example of him fighting oversight.
We're talking with KPCC and LAist correspondent covering crime and public safety, Frank Stoltz. Frank, we also heard the sheriff defend his deputy's handling of the arrest of KPCC and LAist reporter Josie Wong. He did say they were overzealous, but nonetheless defended and was critical of her. We understand that was a very difficult night for deputies with the ambush shooting of two deputies in their car at the metro station there in Compton. But here we are weeks later, and you know, didn't sound like the sheriff was giving any ground on the treatment of journalists.
Yeah, what struck me was, and he said this before, is this happened in the heat of the moment. The deputies were acting in the heat of the moment when they took her to the ground like that. There are lots of folks have seen that video. Even though she was saying, I'm a reporter, I'm with KPCC, that they were acting in the heat of the moment. Well, you know, part of law enforcement is, I've been detained in the heat of the moment. The way law enforcement works is a supervisor comes over and says, okay, fellas, you know, wait a minute, what's going on here? They say she's a reporter, we don't believe her, whatever. They check it out. One of the keys to good law enforcement, Larry, and I've covered it for a while now, is good supervision. You know, it can be, you can understand a police officer sometimes getting heated, especially when two of deputies were shot earlier in the night, you know, and in emergency surgery. But where was the supervisor? And instead, they took her to jail. It was an hours long process of detaining her and arresting her and taking her to jail. And not once did a supervisor step in. And he's still arguing that it was a good arrest, even though we have to remind folks, the district attorney said it was a bad arrest and did not file charges.
KPCC reporter Frank Stoltz joining us. He covers crime and public safety. Sheriff said he was not aware of the incident involving freelance journalist Pablo Unzueta. The UC Irvine Law Clinic is representing him in this incident in which he was apparently arrested and held for 6 hours. Did not have his equipment returned to him until his attorney stepped in and demanded it be returned, and the memory card was missing. We also have other instances of reporters who have been pepper sprayed or been hit by hard foam projectiles here. You know, for years, and you're aware of this, you know, we've been doing this a long time, there have been conflict between reporters and law enforcement. That's nothing new. The sheriff mentioned meeting with the Radio TV News Association, with the press club over this. This goes back decades to these disputes over what latitude the journalists have. But the law is pretty clear as to the latitude that journalists have. And it seems that in this case, the sheriff's department really isn't giving ground.
Nor really, it appears, are most agencies. We are in a new era, Larry, of course, of the citizen journalist. And not everybody is a KPCC or an LA Times or a Long Beach Press Telegram reporter. It is true that you'll go to a protest and half the people at the protest have a camera in their hand. And you can see where, you know, it's hard to manage for police. But there at the same time seems to be this aggressive posture toward reporters, you know, in the wake of the George Floyd killing, where, you know, we've seen them hit. We saw our own, not just Josie, but Adolfo Guzman Lopez hit in the eye with a projectile.
In the throat, yeah. Yeah,
in the throat. Thank you. And so, you know, one of the things I've observed is there was a moment there where police were better about getting public information officers out to scenes and sort of managing that relationship. They don't seem to be doing that as well. There's a bit more of a bunker mentality right now. And again, you know, you might say that's understandable, but we're talking about the First Amendment. And I think, you know, the Society of Professional Journalists, the Press Club, the Radio Television News Association in town, all of them, you know, are expressing concerns about this new atmosphere. And if I could add one last thing.
Yeah, sure.
Man, yeah. About the sheriff in particular, who you just had on. I think one of the things we see in each of these instances where there's a clash with him is a stubbornness to deal with people who oppose his views or have a different view. And we've seen that from the get-go, you know, when he took office 2 years ago. You know, he doesn't work well with the Board of Supervisors, the CEO's office. You know, he doesn't reach out very well. And so, you know, I'm not into psychoanalyzing, you know, political leaders. You know, this is a guy who was a sheriff's lieutenant, which is a relatively low rank in the sheriff's office. He had never managed a large law enforcement agency before. He had, you know, this is his first political office. So I think this is part of the dynamic that's going on.
Frank, thank you so much. Appreciate your coming on after our conversation with the sheriff to give some broader context on this related to all the great reporting that you've been doing on KPCC and at LAist.com. Thanks very much.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.